In 2006 onwards, we acquired companies in Germany and Italy. We have now 12 plants, 9 plants in Italy, which is near the Turin area, as well as in Brescia. And we have 3 plants in Germany, which is near Heidelberg, or I would say near Stuttgart, about 1.5 hours. The overseas business in Europe is largely for aluminum casting, supplying to all the major four-wheeler players, including the Volkswagen Group, Porsche. We are a strategic supplier to Porsche, including for all the EV vehicles, Audi, to Mercedes-Benz, to BMW, to Stellantis, which is a merger of Peugeot with Fiat, to Renault, and now they're basically to Punch Powertrain, which is tied up with Stellantis. So Europe is largely a four-wheeler passenger car and CV, aluminum die casting business, which is machining, and that constitutes this year about 23% of our business, and 77% comes from 19 plants in India in the four product areas which I mentioned. As you know, that the EV is getting a big thrust in India as well as in Europe. And in 2022 July, we acquired a company called Maxwell. It was like a startup new company with 5 years of experience, whose flagship product was a battery management system. So a battery management system is like a printed circuit board, and it's the heart of a battery car. So for us, it was very important to be part of the EV journey. Let me tell you that except for the transmission clutch product, which is 5% of our total business, the rest of all our products, fortunately, are EV agnostic. So the suspension, front fork shockers, as well as brakes are used even on the EV vehicles. The aluminum castings are of different types. If you have a crankcase or a cylinder block, cylinder head, or a cover in IC, here you have battery housing, you have cage transmission, you have motor housing. A different type of part. There are more casting parts with lighter weight in an EV compared to an IC engine, and that's because of the lightweight solution of it. So, though we were 95% agnostic, to be a part of the EV journey, we wanted to get into EV, electronic space. And we found the technology was very good. This company had got the order for the Vida EV scooter from HMCL. And we want to leverage our strength of a two-wheeler supplier, because we are the largest 20-wheeler auto component supplier in India, to leverage that strength of customers with our financial strength, be able to manufacture a BM in-house, with which company was making it outside to Bosch and other companies, which we've already started doing on 6th of this month. So our idea was to grow this business and make it profitable and get into new EV products like off-board on-board chargers and other products, not only for two-wheelers but also for four-wheelers. So we are actually an end-to-end solution provider. We are a tier 1 to all the OEMs. So like I said, the major OEMs in Europe, which I've already mentioned, India, we are Bajaj Auto, we have TVS, Hero, Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha. We supply to every 2-wheeler company. And for all our products, except for the 4-wheeler, which is largely for casting, where our major customers are Hyundai, Kia, Tata Motors, and Mahindra and Mahindra. And now it's Punch Powertrain, we've got that business also in India. So largely I would say in India, we are 80% of our business comes from 2-wheelers, and about 6.5% comes from 4-wheelers. So still very small in 4-wheelers. As an overall company, almost 26% of our business as a consolidated sales with overseas is 4-wheelers. That's because largely the business, in European operations are mainly for 4-wheelers, which is there. So we are an end-to-end solution provider, we are a tier one, and we jointly also enter into new products, working with the customer R&Ds together. And R&D is of course a major focus for us, where our focus is on improving the performance, the durability, which is light, as well as doing value engineering. And I mean value engineering means looking at lightweighting, looking at alternate materials which are cheaper, or making a product with less number of parts. If I can make a 4-plate clutch into a 3-plate clutch, or make less number of parts in a shock absorber without affecting the life, you know, of the product. So we have almost, for each product area, we have R&D center approved by DSIR. And I think the whole idea of R&D to perform on directly in cost is to increase our R&D. So we are very highly focused on technology in product as well as in process. It has helped us to be a very trusted player, a partner to almost all the OEMs over the years. We have won almost 4,000 crores of new business other than Bajaj Auto, which is a major, I would say. So they have almost 39.5% of business this year. So they've also grown quite well, especially in the third quarter. But the non-Bajaj Auto business we have won is more than 4,000 crores in the last 4 years. And overseas, since last 4.5 years, we have won almost 249 million euro of business, which is out of 84% is for EV and hybrid, which is the trend going there because they have a regulation that by 2035, they have to stop making IV business. So everybody, all OEMs that are focusing on making IV and, you know, EV and, you know, hybrid engine out there. So as far as R&D is concerned, we have more than 350 people in all our R&D centers. Already we have 63 patents to our name. Already there are another 80-85 patents under, you know, being approved. This is helping us to keep competition out in you know, certain technology areas, which is really helping us to grow the business also. And also we have a company which is highly corporate focused. We've always said, since the IPO we did in October 2016, that we have to grow higher than industry and profitably. We see our track record since then, we have just done that. And of course, going forward, definitely our focus will be more on the four-wheeler, because we want to de-risk the two-wheeler business, which is today 80%, and see the overall figure of four-wheeler, which is 26%, goes to 45% by FY30. And we are doing a lot of work. The focus, which will come from aluminum casting, aluminum forging, both are lightweighting materials, and come from proprietary products in the four-wheeler space for the existing or new products. We also have a focus on entering the non-automotive business. Largely it will happen in aluminum casting and forging. It could be for industries like compressors, gensets, telecom, ATV, MTVs, as well as, you know, somebody supplying electronic parts. There's a huge potential there, largely for export as well as in India. That's another focus area coming forward. Idea is to make higher profit margins as we go forward. Also, we are looking at the premium products which you rented in the two-wheeler space, like the inverted front fork, rear monoshock. So the first Indian company to supply ABS to the customers, or the assistance with clutches, which has been launched by FCC Japan. So that's a product we acquired, Adler, our earlier collaborator. That will start in the second quarter of next financial year. Or a niche in the casting space. Now, structural casting for a high-end bike is getting very popular, like swing arm, structural bearings, subframe. So a niche where you've already won 100 crore business there, and this business is growing. So we want to see how we can, through our R&D, be able to, you know, give this high-end product, which are normally today meant for high-end bikes, which is 200cc plus, how we can bring it down to a larger volume of 125cc bikes. So this will be our focus, is how to really get premium products and make it more affordable to the 125cc or the 150cc bikes. Also, if you see today, our large share of penetration is mainly with Bajaj, Royal Enfield and Honda. The other customers in two-wheeler, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki, TVS is the fastest growing customer for us. We already won more than 500 crores of business in the last 2 years. we have to see that we penetrate in all our four product areas, as well as our electronic area, and get a good share of business so we can increase the content per vehicle for all the customers. Today we are at a high level with Royal Enfield and Bajaj and to some extent with Honda. But still a long way to go. Something that itself is a growth driver for us as we go into taking more and more business, which we are taking. Trying to see in the next 3 to 5 years, we can enter all the four areas with a decent share of business of at least 1%. So that will be a growth driver. You know, we also have an aftermarket business, which we call the B2C business. Today it's about 550 crores. We have taken a target of reaching 10% of India sales by the financial year 28. And of course, we want to be a significant player in the electronic space with the acquisition of Maxwell. At least in the next 5 years, we should be a recognized player. And electronics is an area which really, if you do your purchasing well, the semiconductor chips, and with the good technology, you can really make good money. So that's also going to be a major focus area for us. So these are some of our future areas to increase our profitable business. Today we are at a EBITDA margin of 13.1% in the first 9 months. But it's also because of the fact that our R&D personal sales is over 66.3. We grew 15.6% EBITDA margins in FY21, but that time the R&D percentage to sales was at about 63.2%. But definitely, with the focus on four-wheelers, non-automotive, aftermarket, electronics, we want to, irrespective of the raw material percentage, see that we are still able to have a better product mix and increase our margins in the future. So I will just say, I'll say a few of these words and then I'd like to invite questions from all of you.
Yeah. Yeah, Vishal, go ahead.
Thank you for that. Very helpful to hear. Maybe I think the first thing would be helpful is just to get a little bit of a roadmap of where you see the two-wheeler transition going from ICE to EV in our country. And I'll say a bunch of us in the room have met with Ola Electric recently and with the Federal Public. One of their big actors is that we're doing everything in-house. The entire supply, which is, I think, there's a lot of skepticism from many of us. We know everything, we know better than everyone else. We're making a better form factor, and therefore we don't need the existing supply chain as it stands today. Everything, and inspired by Tesla, battery will be made in-house, all this will be made in-house. So I guess that's the first question. And I guess where you rely, especially in Maxwell, is with, I guess, some of the guys that are not on the port, anti-air, fuel, electric, etc., that are not there. So maybe this big picture would be helpful to see, where you see the transition, and then specifically around Ola.
First, I must say that Ola, whatever it achieved, is very fantastic. It's a short period of time. It's not easy to get this kind of a market share, and I believe the products are very good. Regarding the philosophy of doing everything in-house, they must be having some good reason. But if I look at the future and what I might feel with, other ways, at some stage, you will start focusing on things which are more important, introducing new vehicles. And there could be multiple variants, there could be multiple new vehicles. That requires a lot of time and energy and focus. Be able to focus on the critical operations inside and outsource everything else to vendor base where you dictate price and quality. That's what everybody is doing. So I would definitely prefer that model. But I do not know the reason for them saying it. But definitely I appreciate whatever they have achieved so far. So it's not right of me to comment in a company which has done so well. There must be having a reason. But whatever I've seen today, the transition always has been to find the best supply for products which can be done outside, where the suppliers are continuously upgrading their technology, and you can demand very competitive prices from them. So, I would believe at some stage, maybe they will think of doing that, but that is something which is their call. But this is what I have seen over the years. In the last 25, 30 years is what I have seen. There was a time when Bajaj was initially in many countries, including a clutch assembly inside. They thought that was better. But I still remember Mr. Rajiv Bajaj coming and saying, I can't be exporting everything. He told me, get the best collaboration, okay, pricing he gave what we found was competitive, and we could get Adler actually as a technology partner, and definitely we gave them much better flashes than they used to make enough, and they got a good price, it helped them in increasing the ROC, they didn't have to invest in all those, and I'm sure investors look at ROC, so very important, this thing, because there are too many external factors for you to always, and I would say, be 100% sure that the market will only grow. We have incidents like COVID, you have this, the Ukraine-Russia war, we've seen in Europe 100 times increase in energy costs. Korea, the Red Sea crisis, the sea freight shipments are getting delayed and raising the prices of dollar. There are so many factors in business which are not in your control. So definitely at some stage every company has to think, and of course they have to be mindful of the ROC, return on investment. And definitely there should be a stage when whatever vendors can do better for you, where they can give you better quality, obviously as good a quality as you are doing, and at a competitive price, and you save on that CapEx and put that CapEx somewhere else, you know, where it's required. That would be a thing which I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. So, but to be honest, I'm sure anybody has a good reason for whatever.
Yes. When do you see the market share shift in sort of the medium term?
So the EV traction we see in two-wheelers is only in scooters.
For now. For now. Talking about motorcycles and
other things. See, motorcycles, the whole point is that the performance requirements, including speed, are much higher.
Yeah.
The total cost of ownership should make sense because the battery pack becomes much more expensive. So if you can solve the problem of a good value engine in motorcycles, which where the total cost of ownership makes sense, then definitely you see attraction. So far the players today, I will not name them, whoever is there, I don't see so much attraction. We have also got orders from them. But I don't see so much attraction in motorcycles as I see in scooters. Scooters already, EVs are I think 15% of the market as of today. And I feel today the two-wheeler OEMs are more focused on scooters. Whether it's Honda, whether it's Hero, whether it's Bajaj, whether it's TVS, everybody is focused on scooters. I'm not seeing, they maybe have a product ready, but they are not getting into motorcycles. But I believe Ola is launching their motorcycles. So maybe they will drive the motorcycle market. It's possible. So you have to be prepared with everything. So let's see how it plays out. But so far not seen attraction in motorcycles, but maybe with Ola, they could be the leader in driving that. But definitely when they drive it, others will cut off the end. Nobody likes to lose share of business. Whether it's Honda and scooter or it's the other big OEM motorcycles. So it should be an interesting, I would say, phase, looking ahead, we have to wait and watch. As far as endurance is concerned, we are engaged with everybody to take new business for our suspension, for our casting, for our brakes. And now with Maxwell on the BMS and other electronic products, it should come.
See, normally,
we find that our casting category, our ROCs could be 20%. And the proprietary are much higher. Because the capex required in a casting vehicle, die casting machine, is much higher. You know, and generally, proprietary will be more 3 years, 3 to 4 years, could be even 2 years, depending upon the margins which you get on the product. But casting is normally fine. You know. So going forward, at least as a non-automotive casting business, definitely I would like to go in more of a proprietary type of action. That I can do in 3 years. You know, that's the target. Even 4 wheelers, definitely less than what I do in 2 wheelers, 5 years. So that is the target which we have to achieve. But ultimately when you are looking at forward, the profit growth, ROI and ROC have to be much better. You know, I mean, otherwise you just can't keep doing the same thing again and again. So to answer your question, we are looking at shorter ROIs and ROCs in the future. I mean, that's our target. Yes, sure.
Over the years, we've seen that our funding for at least the large customers like Bajaj and Adani has continued to fall off, and it is already in some low-key kind of number. So, when things, is there some room for further growth from that level? And if yes, then what
are the products that one can? So, today we see the highest share of business is the Bajaj, 50 to 80% in our products. Then his Royal Enfield could be 30 to 70-75%. And then your Honda, like suspension at 70%. Euro suspension would be, I think, 50%. But the kind of penetration which we should make in all the four areas, barring Bajaj and RE, is not there with us. Now, Honda will be starting our first braking system in December. It's Hero, the first braking system in April, which is in 2 months' time. TVS, we have become very strong in braking. We are doing almost 80,000 a month. We'll cross 1 million next year. We have braking systems for them. You know, alloy wheels, we are growing with TVS, with Yamaha, we are a single source. So, the idea is how we can penetrate the Suzuki's, the Yamaha's, TVS, Honda, Hero, in other segments which we are not. So this is a very big growth driver. Now Suzuki, where we were present in a small way, we've got 165 crore front fork order for all their scooters, starting in quarter 3 of the next financial year. Now, Yamaha, we've got a brake order for almost 30,000 brakes a month for their scooters. So we're slowly entering in different areas with different customers. So our target is at least in the next 3 to 5 years, we should be able to have a decent, at least one-third share of business for all the product segments with you know, all the OEMs. So that itself becomes a growth driver. So one is getting business for all of us. Second is the premiumization. Today, we are a leader in technology, whether it's inverted front fork, rear monoshock absorbers, gas windshock absorbers, ABS, the only Indian company after Fortune 20, large braking systems, assisted slip clutches we are entering, which is the FCC domain. So I think the premiumization will also add value to us. And ultimately, like I said, we want to keep products which are premium to down the level, bikes or scooters also. So just last year, with Bajaj, for their pulses which are 200cc plus, today the inverted front fork technology is more for the high-end bikes, KTM, or a high-end Honda, or a high-end Hero, or very high-end like BMW, or TVS. But Bajaj said, if you validate the product, we work with the R&D, now, the 250 plus is another 300,000 bikes. And even with valid engineering, the price of an inverted front fork is almost 3 times the price of a normal front fork. So we could add value, give them a much lower value proposition, which they could afford to be able to sell. But it's a fantastic looking feature, the performance is better, the drive comfort is better, so you have to find these kind of solutions. So this is what we want to do. Our army should be able to value engineer the product so we can offer these higher technologies to the lower cc, up to 125 cc. So the growth drivers will be for us in two-wheelers, would be the content per vehicle for each customer increasing, as well as the premium product entering with all the customers, and if we can scale it down to the larger segment of the 125-150cc bikes. So that's the focus we have.
Major, I think, traction, immediately I can see is from aluminum castings and forgings for forging. Aluminum forging, we got an order from Jaguar Land Rover for sports for their passenger car, EV passenger car EVs. And there's a huge opportunity on the EV space for forging, even for the IC space. But we didn't realize that aluminum forging is really a lightweight material, in cars, especially for EVs. So this is a business growth which we expect from. And not only the OEM, it's also the tier one. But there are many tier ones, Valeo, Magna, all the top tier ones which are there today. There, I would say that the casting, for example, for EV, inverter housing, motor housing, battery housing, chassis parts, there's a huge opportunity there to grow the business. And these come with some kind of special, which is a process called friction shear welding, which is a part of the machining, which is there. Now, we do not go to it. So, EV is a different, ballgame, and we see a huge potential. Not only with OEMs, but also with big, large tier-one companies, as we go forward. Four-wheeler space, definitely is an Indian company. We've added a new customer, Punch Party, is a 100 crore business we won in the last few months. Hyundai just gave last week the new order of 85 crores, which started 2026. So I would say again, it would be casting orders to the Indian OEMs for exports, increasing exports to OEMs as well as the tier 1 companies. You know? Apart from that, you have to look at the proprietary space. The proprietary, for example, we are really actively looking at either an acquisition or a technology partnership, not a deal, a technology partnership, because I don't believe there can be two owners that can function. We already experienced that. Either it be a technology or an acquisition. We are actively pursuing that. These things take time. But this could be maybe in racing, could be in suspension, could be in new products, also which we are looking at. So let's see how where it really takes us. But we are actively looking at a proprietary as well as aluminium casting and aluminium forging to take us there. And I think, and it also could be an acquisition, like I said. So definitely we are very, very focused to reach that 45%. And largely should happen for India. So we have to de-risk this 80% two-wheeler business by 5%. Without losing any two-wheeler business.
So, historically, if you look at our revenue growth, it's been between 7 to 9% over 5 to 10 horizon. So, I just want to understand, going forward, what is the more natural rate of growth, given we're also looking to do more stuff in four-wheeler or other segments, or whatever. What is the...
See, since the IPO, we have always mentioned higher industry growth and profit growth. And, EBITDA margin or PAT should be looked at not as a percentage but the amount of money we make. Because ultimately the percentage of EBITDA is a factor of raw material percentage going up or down. So going forward, to give a figure will be fair. This year we have grown 13.5% in the first 9 months. When the two-wheeler industry in India has grown only 5% in the first 9 months. Our major customer Bajaj has only grown 1.4% in the first 9 months. This has happened because of this large 4,000 crore order we have taken in India in the last 4 years, which has been mainly non-Bajaj. And that is helping us to grow much higher than the industry. We'll continue to do so. Of course, focus would be for a higher growth always. But I would like to give a figure because there are so many uncertainties we live in which are not in our control. But definitely as a company, it will be a proper growth and as higher growth than it can do. You know.
When you have mentioned about the focus on going in four-wheeler sector, so what can be the addressable content per vehicle in four-wheeler
sector? See, I am not really thought of the content per vehicle in four-wheelers because there are a lot of parts there. We will be focusing, our focus in four-wheelers will be to increase our business, make it more profitable. Generally, in four-wheeler, we have seen the margins to be better. Our idea would be more from the endurance angle because it will be really, I would say, not obviously a fresh start, but it will be a new beginning to really to get that focus in. So rather than content for vehicles, our focus will be to get proper business for the company, whether it's aluminium casting, forging, or getting to proprietary. Of course, we are tracking the two-wheeler content for vehicles, but we are quite established here. But four-wheeler at this stage, we are not looking at content per vehicle.
What is the two-wheeler current
content
per vehicle
and
what you are looking for
when it
gets migrated to EV?
Sorry?
The content per vehicle
in the
two-wheeler, how will that change?
Yeah, so our whole focus would be, if I would say, with a fuel injection being added and ABS being added over the years, the price of the vehicle has become much higher. So the ex-factory selling price, if we are able to do 13 to 15%, is a good, I would say, figure for all the products which we do for the food. With RE and Bajaj, we are there. But rest, we are at 5%, 7%, 8%, in some models at 9 to 10%. So we still have a lot of penetration to do. So unless we supply all the product segments to all these customers, that will not happen. You know what I'm saying?
This percentage was excluding ABS and the fuel injection.
No, what I have told you is with ABS implementation. Otherwise, we should have been higher, 17-18%.
We don't do fuel injection,
we just do ABS. Yeah, we just do ABS. And that too, we are at a run rate of 400,000 per annum, single channel. We will be launching the dual channel ABS by the next quarter. And we are taking our capacity to 640,000 ABS in a market of 3 billion, dictated mainly by Bosch and Continental, mainly I would say Bosch. And of course, step by step, we'd like to increase it to 1.2 million in the next 2 years. So that's the focus. So let's see how these opportunities turn up.
You talked about this increasing the non-two-wheeler part of the business. This will drive the margins going forward. So, sir, just to understand, are you at the profitability of the two-wheeler? Like, is there any further room to improve profitability?
Yes, that's for sure. See, the room to improve is the premiumization focus which we are looking at, the product mix becoming better. That's the major reason. And second is, I think it's more about economies of scale. There are some plants of ours in Gujarat and in Karnataka where we have to achieve full economies of scale. So in Karnataka, we have got orders from Ather as well as TVS for suspension. We started next financial year around second quarter. That will help us to get better economies of scale. And in Halol, say Hero Motor Corp, we have to get further orders. We already have ELY, but not reach the peak of ELY. So our effort is also making our plants multi-product and multi-use. You know, not only one product. Many of our plants are doing even two products. The Pannagar plant has all the products, all the products. Because ultimately, you don't know which customer will do well or which product will do well. So it's very important for economies of scale to be able to spread your fixed cost. It is very, very important that that's been the effort for the last 6 to 7 years to make our products multi-product and multi-use. So the profit is at the plant here. The idea we have to see, we have a good, we are able to use the capacity to at least 75% to 80%, you know, at least, if not more.
Sir, over the last couple of quarters, we have seen the margin pressure, right, on the consolidated books. So the one reason is the raw material pricing, right? But other than that, is there something on the competitor side that winning a business at lower price, or there's a pricing pressure that exists?
See, the price is normally dictated by the competition. That's the kind of competition you have. Normally that's the way it works. But if you ask me, in the last 9 months, we have not seen any margin pressure. See, today, if you see percentage, maybe you'll say 12.8% is low in India. Overseas, we are 15.5%. Consolidated, we are 13.5%. But if you see the profit we made 2.5 years ago in FY21, which is 15.6%, the whole year's EBITDA that we have made in 9 months of this year. So look at the amount of profit, because percentage is a factor of raw money, percentage of sales going up. You know? So you should always look at the amount of money we are making in the company. I mean, that's very important. You have to look at both in the right, you know.
We have seen that in the last couple of years, the results have been increased momentum of winning orders from Japanese OEMs. Typically, they've given it to their own entities that they have. What are your thoughts around competition now going forward, especially with the sister entities of the Japanese OEMs?
No, I think today it's survival of the fittest. All the customers I know, Japanese and non-Japanese, go for suppliers who can give them the best price, good sustainable quality, has good technology, has a financial strength to invest. They look at such suppliers. And that is what creates trust. So I don't see anywhere any favoritism to the Japanese company by the OEM. Yes, maybe to start with, because if they will start an ABS, you may start with a Japanese company because the development first time is done in Japan. They find it easy. But as you go to a second model onwards, we always look at the... Because Indian suppliers have always been more competitive. And this is my experience. Of course, you do have exceptions, I'm not like to name them, where we have Japanese suppliers also getting very, very aggressive in the Indian market. But to answer your question, I think normally it is the best competent supplier on the choose. I've not seen any kind of really people favoring as far as the Japanese companies.
And do you see competitive intensity coming off because many of them might have pressures on their balance sheet and so on in different products in the two-wheeler?
See, definitely the competition has evolved in the last 20 years. Today, if you see the competition in our range of castings, there will be RE4. If you look at brakes, it's mainly Brembo, or for ABS is Bosch and Continental. Suspension mainly would be Bajaj, Showa, Gabriel. Of course, your pockets where Showa supplies for certain models of Honda and KYP to Yamaha. In transmission, there is FTC. XCD is in a smaller way a Japanese company, or you have a machine or in certain pockets. So, you know, if you see competition even on the natural acquisition, look, you may have, say, a lithium balance, you know, with Verox, or an AMP with you know, Uno Minda, or you may have a Bosch, but Bosch is focusing more on the 4-meter BMS. So, competition between our areas does not match. New entrants can come in, but we have to face it like in any other business. But right now, the business has evolved a lot. Because you need the technology and process and product. The experience you have for 25 years of work, if the problems you have on warranties or customer complaints, if you're patented in your design of the product and the processes you follow, that nobody can take that experience away. That experience you have to get, you know, and quality is the highest weightage in the vendor rating system, at least 70% for all customers. So, there are factors which are a bit of barriers, but I would not say complaints cannot come, they can come in. But definitely to be able to have sustained quality at competitive prices, large investment in good technology, continuous upgradation, and have the financial strength to be able to invest when the customer wants to do that. These are things which today customers are looking at. You know, and you've got to be financially strong. To be honest, we have not lost any market share except for a flush for 1 year.
What suspension specifically? We haven't lost market share anywhere.
In suspension, we have not lost any. We have only gained market share. Not a single market share. In fact, we have gained market share. In fact, there's a Suzuki. The 165 crore front of business starting in December 24. Definitely, I'm replacing somebody. You know, and so suspension, we are a leader. Now, we see our technologies. So, we've always offered customers better shock absorbers, better front forks, something better at, you know, affordable prices. And people know we are very, very competitive when it comes to this.
Bajaj exports came down.
Impacted. Yeah, so what Mr. Jabbar is saying is, definitely Bajaj, which was doing an export of 180,000 a month, down to 130, 140, may have impacted the overall share of business. But not the share of business to Bajaj, but the volume of business as a whole may have been affected. You know, as far as the market in India is concerned. But we have not lost the share of business to America.
Aluminium
Industry
has been growing faster than forging.
For four-wheeler, what products are you looking to sell? For aluminium casting, your flush housing, your transmission housing, your ladder frame, you have financial covers. These are generally the popular parts. They are looking at the future for knuckles and all, which are structural parts, which can go into, you know, die casting. So that is for the forging, it's more of like brace assemblies. Again, I was told in forging, there are also knuckles, which are there. There are many structural and chassis parts in aluminum forging, which are there.
Do you think as you grow more global in terms of the export opportunities, you need to have your plant also near to the customer, you know?
You're saying customer abroad?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's a requirement anymore. We have been doing direct exports to Ford for many years now, to Magna also for many years now, in Europe, even to the Ford plant in Mexico. There was no such requirement. Ultimately, they are looking at competitive prices. And we have this warehousing where we do to see that there's enough inventory stock for them. And there's a just-in-time pull. So rather than having a plant, we have a warehouse.
But from the customer side, you are not seeing a trend of them preferring
There is no insistence on that. That I feel that there are even some customers like JLR.
But yeah, so we give them options for, you know, our European plants also and our Indian plants also. So you know, both the options are there. Whatever the preference they have, they will give the business accordingly. So we go as one group.
So yeah, to answer your question, there is no insistence that in India. If our overseas company can supply the same parts, then we tell them you can take it from them.
Yeah.
But if there are other regions in Europe, there is no insistence. As long as you have a warehousing and they can pull just in time.
In fact, the synergy between our India and Europe four-wheeler business is that our European team is ahead of us when it comes to EV-related casting. So our technical head of the India Casting Center believes that when we start to get more EV, when Indian OEMs start to do more EV production in India, our experience in Europe will certainly benefit us and we'll be able to squeeze the time gap between planning and production and actually executing it. So on the IP side, of course, we are doing a lot of orders for Hyundai, Mahindra, Tata. Yeah, as well as export orders for a Ford company in Europe. So these are products we are doing from India. But I just wanted to highlight that as we move ahead in EVs in the four-wheeler industry in India, our casting business would benefit from the experience that we have in Europe.
Over time, do you think we can get more manufacturing in Europe today?
No, they have orders on EVs. Yeah, in India, we don't have too much of EV production. So there are no large size orders for EV because the Indian OEMs are not producing large quantities of EVs, unlike European manufacturers who have moved ahead in volumes.
But to be honest, I don't see European operations being shifted here because there's always a comfort when you're next door to a customer. You can't take away that comfort. And the kind of interaction you can have within Europe compared to India to Europe is different. So I don't see that preference really happening. And the cost difference may will be there, but how big it is there, I don't know, because there's something called sea freight. And sometimes there is a small import duty, which also eats into the difference in the pricing between the Indian labor and the manpower cost as well as compared to there. So ultimately for such a difference, they will not let go the comfort of the next door.
That's what exactly my question was. And now the answer is different because the customer prefers talking to the next door.
Yes.
The import duty, every country is trying to be a little bit less reliant.
Yes.
They are showing what that means.
Correct.
That's what my question is. So for US market, you have plans in Europe and India. But for US market, you want to cater, you know?
There is no insistence, like I said, that you have to have a manufacturing facility. So, there is no insistence. They also understand the challenges of running a factory. So definitely when they are looking at best cost countries like India or China, they are definitely looking at the fact that they will not insist on splitting. Because not many people will go and put plants in the US. I know of a certain supplier, a very large manufacturing supplier, has had huge problems. And I think the comfort level of starting plants overseas is not very high. So, and I think the customers are knowing that. So, Europe we can offer that.
Yeah.
You know, that we would not like to set up plants overseas. It's a, sitting here, it's not easy.
Sure.
The mindset, because the people are the most important. And when you don't have the right set of people, mindset of people controlling from here, you know, rather give a slightly lower price and supply there than putting up a plant and trying to manage. It's really a challenge.
So, how was the share of proprietary products in the overall business?
In India?
In the last 3-4 years.
Proprietary, I would say, in this year, it's about 60% is proprietary. Six zero, which includes the aftermarket, which is okay. So about 5.5% of India sales. So that's all proprietary. Aftermarket is only proprietary, you cannot sell casting. But that design is by the OEM customer. You're not allowed. So I would say 60% is proprietary, 40% is casting, which includes the two-wheeler alloys.
Correct.
And within that, maybe what would be the share of the next generation type products, like you said, your head front?
I don't have the right figure right now. I don't have that figure.
So this would include the basic suspension part?
It will include the right from a hydraulic to a rear monoshock or from a normal inverted, normal fork to a
normal
fork. Yes, it is the whole range. Yeah.
Also, just one basic question. How does this collaboration or technical collaboration process actually, like, how much you are supposed to pay on every stage or how does it, this one process?
See, technical collaboration generally over the years, we have had royalty payments along with lump sums, we only had lump sums. Right now we only have lump sum payments. We don't have, I think, any royalty payments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there, even is there a little bit of a trade-off between margin and capacity utilization, which is worked out when you say launch a line with the competition, or is it similar to what you could work out with others?
See, margins are dictated by the competition. The capacity is something you have a discussion. Looking at the volumes they will do, what kind of an extra capacity should be? Should be 20%. Should be plus 10%, should be plus 30%. That's the kind of a dialogue which we have with the customer. But pricing is dictated by the competition. It's not, there's no link between, once the pricing has been set for so many years, there's no link between pricing and the capacity.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your time.